Hey, it's Sparky Fiverr. It's 55 past the hour, and it's delivered to you by Young Express. If you're looking for a new job or career, check them out at youngexpress.com. Time for your local sports angle. This time we talk with our guy, Tim Mumma from BrewerFanatic.com. Tim, first things first, talk about the Brewers from over the weekend. Your thoughts when Craig Counsell went and pulled Freddy Peralta with no hitter still intact and only 82 pitches?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people probably saw it coming. Just that's the way it's gone with Brewers pitching and the way Counsell handles things. You know, I know they talked about him looking maybe a little fatigued. You're worried about the shoulder. You know, he hasn't had many starts since the injury. So I get it. I completely understand. But, man, it felt like he finished strong in his last inning. So at least let him go out there. You know, see how he rolls. Maybe he has a quick 9-10 pitch inning and you keep things going. I don't know if the no-hitter matters one way or the other, but again, you are fighting for a playoff spot. Anytime a pitcher's rolling like that and the other team sees you bringing a reliever, it's like, oh, thank God we get to face somebody else. And unfortunately, things kind of spiraled from there. The Brewers gave it a shot, but I don't think anybody should be surprised by what Counsell did. It's the way they run things and you understand it for the most part, but it certainly is frustrating when you see a guy seemingly cruising and you just want to give him a shot to go as long as he can.
What about Christian Yelich? He's produced 7 hits in the last 9 at-bats, including 2 homers. Last time he did that was against the Cubs in April. Is this just Yelich sees the Cubs well, or do you read more into it?
I would love to read more into it, and I'm trying to hold back the excitement because he's had these little spurts before, I mean, this year. I think what is encouraging is that his swing did look a little different this weekend, at least to me, from the naked eye. Just driving the ball better, maybe looking to do more damage as opposed to always just finding some contact, putting the ball in play, which again has been great for the Brewers, and his patience at the plate, allowing him to draw a bunch of walks. I mean, he's filled that leadoff role so well, but maybe that took him too far away from some of the talent that he still has in his bat. And I don't know, this weekend it did look like maybe something changed, maybe something clicked, but kind of like with the whole Brewers team, I feel like we keep saying that every once in a while, like, oh, this is going to get him going. This is going to get him going. So you really need to see it for more, you know, a week to 10 days to feel like he's really found something again with his swing. But look, if you're a Brewer fan, you should be rooting for him and every one of the guys to bust out of any slump they might be in or to get hot, because that's what's going to carry the team offensively. So if he does find a little something and maybe a couple of the guys get hot as well, then you make things interesting down the stretch.
The thing that's frustrating, though, Tim, I think, is the fact that, look, they're getting guys on base. And a lot of times they're getting multiple guys on base with nobody out and then not being able to bring them in. And when they have tried small ball, you know, you fail at a bunt attempt and it doesn't work out. And then they did attempt small ball a little bit in one game over the weekend, and it actually worked out because the ball got thrown past first base. And it all worked out. Does this team need to consider trying to play more small ball under Craig Counsell here for the last month of the season to move runners along?
I do think when it makes sense, you should go for it. I understand the statistics say that it works against you more often than not, especially at the big league level, because regardless of that throw by, I think it was Morel on the bunt by Peterson, typically major leaguers are going to make those plays. But I think the way the offense has just been inconsistent, obviously they put up runs the last couple of games, you need to find those ways to just get a run here, get a run there. And the problem is you have to have the right guy up in the right situation where it makes sense. And they've had some of those. I think it was on Friday night, Caratini was up first and second, nobody out. He tried to bunt. He looked terrible doing it. And that's part of the problem. If guys don't work on it as much, if you're not committed to laying down a bunt, it's extremely difficult when guys are throwing gas like that. The stolen base is the other thing I think they should look into doing a little bit more often. They have guys who can do it. Obviously, Yelich still has plenty of speed and good instincts. You have a couple other guys on the team that you could take advantage of some of these pitchers who are really slow to the plate just to get that extra base, so maybe a ground ball and a fly ball gets them in instead of having to worry about base hits and home runs all the time. It's a delicate balance because, again, you want to score multiple runs in an inning as much as you can. But I do think that it needs to be something they explore when it makes sense, especially when you have guys up there, say, like a Peterson, like Renfro apparently loves to bunt. Not that you want a big power guy bunting. But when you have the right situation, I think you've seen Counsell be a little more agreeable to it. Or maybe it is just the players deciding, hey, I think this is the best route to go, and I have nothing wrong with that either.
Tim, what about the Josh Hader trade that happened? A lot of Brewer fans furious. And now you look at Hader's struggles and look at the Brewers and one of their prospects, Ruiz, playing really well at AAA right now for the Nashville Sounds. That trade seems to look a little bit better day by day here as we go.
It has to be one of the more fascinating trades, at least as far as results right now that I can remember. I said on Twitter yesterday, I don't know if I'm more sad, confused, or just fascinated with what's happened with Hader, whether it's mental, physical, a combination of things, whatever. I wasn't necessarily against the trade of Hader. I understood it. I do think that it did have a short-term negative impact on the club for different reasons, whether it was a lack of communication or guys just wondering, are we trying to win or are we looking to the future? But now you look back, as you said, I mean, Stearns, maybe they knew something was going on. Maybe they just had a gut feeling. Obviously, they're huge into the analytics, and with their pitching lab, they seem to be able to find ways to help guys. So obviously, it can work the other way and seeing, well, is something going on with Hader. So now you got Rogers, who's been more effective than Hader, for sure. And then, yeah, the two prospects, Ruiz and Gasser, I mean, they've really done well in the minors. You could see Ruiz up here. He seems to be on fire, as a number of their guys are. And it's one of those where, again, it's always tough. You react immediately to a trade, especially when you're in a playoff push. But long-term, and even in the short-term, it looks like Stearns might have won this deal again.
And what about this Brewers team now? I mean, the Cardinals seemingly are getting farther and farther out of reach day by day here as we go. The Padres obviously are right there with the Brewers having an opportunity to get over them for the wild card. What, at the end of the day, would have been different with this Brewers team had they not made that trade? I think you can legitimately argue that they might be in a worse situation had they not traded Josh Hader.
That's probably fair, because I don't know that council and the staff would have been willing to basically stop using Hader just because he was struggling. The Padres yesterday threw him in, I think, in the sixth inning down by three, because they're obviously, they don't know what to do with him at this point. So that's fair to think that they'd actually be further away. And obviously they can't really afford to slip up much at all anymore. Obviously it'd be nice to sweep the Cubs, but they got two out of three. The way I look at it is, and a lot of people did talk about this with the Hader trade, was it did allow council and the pitching coaches and everything to be a little more flexible maybe with their bullpen usage. Obviously they're still using Williams as the closer, so basically like the Hader role, but with Bush and with Rogers and just with the rest of the staff, it's allowed them to mix and match a little bit more, and I think for the most part it definitely has worked. They're still having their hiccups here and there, but that's the way bullpens are. It can be real volatile unless you have a guy like a Hader at his peak, obviously not right now, where it's just a lockdown kind of guy. In the end, at least for this push right now, you have to say trading away Josh Hader has benefited the Brewers.
And we go back to what you were talking about earlier, which is Ruiz, and he's playing really well at AAA. So is Sal Frelich, so is Joey Weimer. They bring up Garrett Mitchell over the weekend. He gets his chance on Sunday and gets a big two RBI base hit there with family watching and shooting pictures and everything else. Mm-hmm. You start looking at this outfield going ahead, right? So Christian Yelich obviously is still going to be here next year. Hunter Renfroe, you would assume, is still here next year. Center field is wide open. But in a weird kind of way, I'm kind of in the back of my head going, Tim, maybe we just trade everybody and just bring the kids up and play them. To hell with it next year and let all the kids just come up and play. Because I'm not that convinced that Christian Yelich is going to be any different than what we've seen this year. And Hunter Renfroe, I think there probably is some value with Hunter Renfroe if you wanted to move him.
Yeah, it'll be really fascinating. Obviously, it's fun to think about the young talent that you haven't really seen yet, essentially dominating in many ways at the minor league level.
But Tim, think about this. When was the last time we saw Brewers hitters hitting like this in the minor league level? It was Braun, Fielder. Though that was the last time you saw any type of group of hitters all hitting together coming up.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think the tricky part is the Brewers are still in a competitive window, and I don't know what you can expect to have two, three rookies up here contributing that much in their first full season. So there's a risk there. I mean, it depends exactly on what your plan is. I mean, are you going to start trading away guys, including a pitcher or two, and just start that process? I mean, they don't want to do a full rebuild, obviously. So there's that balance of, are we going to get production from the young guys, especially over the course of a full season? That's something that they're just getting used to. Or do you mix and match as far as bringing guys up, giving them a shot for a month, and if it works out, you stick with them? Otherwise, you have those other options at AAA or even below. I think that's what makes it a really strong top of the system right now for the Brewers, especially with the outfield. It's just that they can kind of figure out, well, what's working and what's not. And it's not that you want to send guys up and down, because that can mess with them, obviously. But if some guy is hot or he feels like he fits the makeup of the team better, I mean, they're going to have options. I think that's the biggest thing. I think that's what Stearns is always looking for, is having those options. And I do agree. I think it's exciting to have, guys like this that are seemingly on the cusp of being those major league contributors. And it's going to be a matter of finding the right fit. And how many do you bring up at one time and rely on versus veterans that obviously have been through it and you need them to kind of lead the way?
What role do you think Urias has on this team next year? Do you think he's still at third, or do you think you might see him move to second base?
Well, right. That all is going to be determined by Wong, whether or not they want to bring him back. I mean, early in the year, you would have thought, I don't think they're going to pick up that option on him. Now, obviously, he's been playing a lot better offensively and defensively, because even that was a question mark in the beginning of the year for whatever reason. I still like Urias. I think he has a lot of value. I don't know if this year's, he got off to a rough start. He was hurt, and he kind of had a wrist little thing here or there throughout the course of the season. I don't think he's a full-time third baseman, that's for sure. Could he be the full-time second baseman? Yeah, I could see that. And he can also be more of that utility guy who mashes lefties and gives a domicile spell at shortstop or whatever you need from him. I don't know that he's going to be that top guy that they are hoping for. I think it's still there. He's still young. I mean, guys go through these peaks and valleys, whether it's within a season or season to season. The good news is, again, he's under team control. He's not going to cost a whole lot. And
so I'm looking at his contract right now. He's at $10 million next year, and that is a option, club option, that includes a $2 million buyout. So they can get out of him relatively inexpensive and save money if that's something they wanted to do to play Urias instead.
Right. You're talking Wong's contract
correct
there?
Yep.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I don't know if they're going to be willing to pay that much for Wong. So it does open up second base, and then you could then think about having Terang as being that guy, one of the guys who comes up and is a utility guy. And then maybe they go get somebody to actually be that third baseman that they've been wanting for years. I mean, again, I think it's going to be a really fun offseason. I think it'll be more fun if they can at least make a run here at the end of this year. But I think there will be lots and lots of rumors that will probably all be false, because usually Stearns makes moves that nobody hears about.
Well, that's just it. Will Stearns even be here next year? I mean, that's the other thing that comes along with all of this. Will David Stearns still be here next year, or will he be somewhere else?
Yeah, that's true. We should probably be talking more about Matt Arnold at this point, just because I know there's been different things put out there as far as Stearns and his contract and outs and all that kind of stuff. I think the biggest one everyone knows about is that if the Brewers were to win the NL pennant, then he's a free agent, essentially. And I think that's still accurate.
Yeah.
And that's what people brought up, too, even with the Hader trade. It's interesting that, is he still looking to the future, even though he might be leaving? And I think it's just that's his way of handling things. And if he does go, I think he wants to leave the team in a better spot, which is obviously admirable and a professional thing to do. And I think him and Arnold obviously are friends as well as coworkers, so I'm sure they're working hand in hand, have similar ideas. And I guess that would be one interesting thing, is if Stearns does leave, Arnold has quite the setup as far as figuring out which direction to take this team and how to move these players and how to handle the whole situation. Because, like I said, I think there could be a ton of movement with the Brewers this year, whether it is, just not re-signing guys or making those trades that could continue to make them a contender for the next couple of years.
He is Tim Mumma. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. Check out the website Brewer Fanatic, the old Brewer fan, now BrewerFanatic.com. Tim, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sparky. Always love to do it.
55 past the hour, always delivered to you by Young Express. If you're looking for a new job or new career, check them out at YoungExpress.com. That's J-U-N-G Express.com. We'll talk more Brewers, Packers, Bucks in the next 55 here on 1250 AM, TheFan.com.